But I'm going to show you a couple of images and see if you can kind of guess what the topic is going to be this morning. And so, what does this represent to us? That's right. It's the United States of America. The flag of the United States of America. Show you another picture. What is that? Statue of Liberty. It's a symbol. Some people say an idol. Okay, we'll get to that. That goes with the topic from this morning. What is that? The Liberty Bell in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia. We have some Eagles fans here. I got the right football team. You can't say Steelers over there. All right. So you remember the first three images, right? Let me see. Any of the kids, do you know what this is? You want to sing it? My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. So are you getting the theme? Okay. I'm going to ask. Here's the next one. This is the preamble to the Constitution, and I'll try to read it. This morning, I was struggling because I couldn't find my glasses. And the first thing that came to my mind was Ecclesiastes 12, 1 and 2. Right? Remember your creator. Well, you know, before the bad days come. And my eyes, I could not see. I was like sweating bullets, and luckily I had my glasses in the car. But it says this: we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Two more images. This one we all should know. If we grew up in the schools here back in the days when they allowed this, some schools have prohibited this, but it says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, the message this morning is not going to be talking about American liberties, the one far greater than that. What's that image? Eternal liberty. The Christian's liberty. And so you see the cross there, but you also see an empty tomb. It's sealed our liberty. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that apart from our Savior, we are nothing. We are undone, as the prophet would say. Yet in Him, you have seated us in the heavenly places. And you see us as if you were looking at your perfect beloved Son. What mercy, what grace, what love and compassion for mortals like us to receive from a great God like you. And so we give you thanks in the precious name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you could guess, today's topic, we're going to be touching on some guiding principles on Christian liberty. Liberty, and this is the first one, is a gift. It is a gift. It is not a right like we have of our American liberties, right? We claim it as a right. We're a U.S. citizen and we claim liberty. But when it comes to the believer, it is a gift. We didn't deserve it. Let's read Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ, who? Christ has made us free. Without Him, we would still be in bondage. would still be slaves. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we'll go deeper into Galatians, but I just wanted to make that point across and drive it home that the Christian liberty that we so freely can enjoy and oftentimes abuse, oftentimes misunderstand, is a gift, brothers and sisters. The next thing that I want to focus on is liberty is constrained by Scripture. Scripture sets boundaries on what that liberty allows us to do. You see, liberty is not liberality. It is not a life without restrictions. Oh, no. We read here in Galatians 13 and 14. For you, brethren, brothers and sisters, have been called to liberty. Okay, so there's a calling to come out. You know, there was a two images that stood in my mind when I was being mentored by an older brother who went to be with the Lord. He was a barber from the Dominican Republic. And he taught me how to study the Bible, how to prepare for a message. These are in the days where, you know, just standing up here, I would probably have to go 3 or 4 times to the bathroom just to, you know, get myself calm. But he was my mentor, and he taught me that we have been called to liberty. And then these images that he shared with me, he said, you know, a circus elephant, you have to train them when they're young. And they take and they chain one of the legs and they put a stake through it. Now, when this elephant is very young, of course, he cannot move. He's constrained by that stake. But the elephant grows. But years and years of being attached to this chain stuck to the ground, he forgets and doesn't realize that all he has to do is lift up his leg and be free. Says the believer is sometimes like that. We continue, after so many years of being slaves to sin, we continue in that same bondage. But we have been called out to liberty. We no longer have that chain around our foot like that elephant. And yet we remain in that one spot. Why is it that we don't progress? And that stood with me for so many years. The other day I came across another video of a trainer with a horse. And usually with a horse, you need a bit, a bridle, to move him around and maneuver the horse. But the psychological test that they were doing was that this horse had been trained so well that the trainer just made the motions with the hand and the horse would obey. Amazing. And that's how we are sometimes. We feel restrained. We feel in bondage. And yet we don't realize that we have been set free. It says, we have been called to liberty, but only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And you see how Scripture starts to set parameters. Don't give opportunity to the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that reminds me of that dialogue that happened between our Lord and the religious leaders of Israel. It is after that woman is brought out, I know, in the Gospel of John chapter 8. That woman is brought out. She's about to be stoned. The other perpetrator of this horrendous sin was not present, only the woman. And he says, the first one of you without a stone, without a sins, throw the first stone. And one by one, they left. Right? And so he starts to talk to them and have a conversation. He says, you know, let's just go to it real quickly. It wasn't in my plans, but John chapter 8. As he tells the woman to go and sin no more, he says to the Jews in verse 31, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Boy, these educated men have forgotten all that happened in Egypt and all the other kingdoms of the Gentiles that had taken them captives by hooks from their noses. The pride, the national pride, the religious pride. We are Abraham's and have never been in bondage to anyone. They were in the present time in bondage to one of the most horrendous empires, the Roman Empire. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The next point that I want to just scratch the surface, and I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to go back and dig deeper. You will find treasures. But with the time allotted, all I can do right now is scratch the surface and start introducing this topic. But liberty is guided by the Spirit. Boundaries are set by Scripture, but it is the Spirit that guides us, that empowers us, that motivates us, that makes this Christian life possible. When we were just in bondage to sin, nothing we could do was worthy before the eyes of God. We were powerless. We were dead in our trespasses, in our sins. All we could do was obey our fallen nature. But we have been called into this liberty. And the Holy Spirit allows us and guides us through this process of living out that abundant life, living out our eternal life. Yes, the moment you are saved, you begin to live your eternal life. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience that. From the second that we are called and we are translated from darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son, we are experiencing eternal life. But we read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But before we read this, let's look at the couple of verses right before it. Just to give you a picture of the condition that we were in. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So if you would know me the way I was, you wouldn't even talk to me. But God is making a new creation of every one of us that have placed our faith in him. And you see, it's our own sinful nature that is warring against the Spirit. They're enemies. Don't let yourself fool you and say, no, I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I'm friendly. I'm an extrovert. I'm this, I'm that. The two are enemies. And it says that the Spirit is against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and here's a laundry list, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, That's me right there. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice over and over and over, perfecting their craft of sin and iniquity and transgression against holy God, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here is the hope of all believers. Here is the Christian liberty. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is not there in first place because of just coincidence. You're going to see that there's a law of love that guides this principle of Christian liberty. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In Romans chapter 6, and this is going to be one of the key verses that we're going to look at, Romans chapter 6. The same writer, but just to a different audience, writes this in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So he's speaking to believers here. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, he's not talking here about the habitual sin or the occasional sin. He's talking here about this ingrained sin, this one thing that we can't shake. Should we continue in it? And he says, absolutely not. It was a rhetorical question. And here's the reason why. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead. And so that's where you see the cross and the tomb. That is where our liberty is sealed. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so what he's saying is, positionally, you are free. Why would you continue like that elephant in that same spot? Why would you continue to listen to that old master like that horse would listen to its trainer? There is nothing restraining us there. The chains have been broken, brothers and sisters. And so sometimes we continue to live under that old yoke and bondage. But if we read further down, verses 15 and 18, 15 through 18. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And the word that is used there in the Greek talks about that occasional sin, that slip up. He says, certainly not. Don't slip up. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And so that's where we start to see this whole picture of redemption. And this morning, we talked about the high price that God paid for our freedom. But as we start to see this concept, we are not free to do whatever we like, because we were redeemed by a better master. No longer sin, no longer death, no longer under the reign of terror, But now our master gave his life for ours. He exchanged his perfect life for ours. And so he has become our owner. And sometimes we live our lives like if we own ourselves. And I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm talking about from experience, brothers and sisters. This, when I was studying this topic, it challenged me. It changed me. Thinking about this on the plane ride up to New York this week, and coming back down, it just gave me a different perspective. And sometimes I find myself living life for myself when it should be for my new master, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One more portion of scripture in Romans, and you see this theme being developed by the Apostle Paul, but now with this time we're going to go to Romans 8. We're going to look at two verses. Romans 8, 1 through 4, but we're going to just read the first two and then we'll read the second two in the second part. There is therefore now no condemnation, and this one was referenced this morning, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so, positionally, we are no longer under the power of sin. We are no longer under the penalty of sin. No condemnation. The soul that sinned, that soul shall die. Because all souls belong to God. That is taught in the Old Testament. But here we see that in Christ, there is no more punishment for sin. No more punishment. And yet we live as though we are still under the reign of terror of sin. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so we see here two different and opposed laws. The law of the Spirit and the law of sin and death. And you know that a law, like the law of gravity, it works every time. If I were to drop this iPad, I would be crying. Or if I were to drop, you know, this here, Steve is shooting at me with his finger over there. Yes, that law works every time. And so that's by definition a law. There is no exceptions to it. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus empowers us to be free from the power of sin. And that law that we were under, where sin and death reigned, and all we could do was sin, no longer applies. It has been declared annulled by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, as we begin to look at the freedom and the liberty that you have afforded us in Christ Jesus, and start to see these principles that guide us on what is your good, your acceptable, and your perfect will. We ask that you prepare our hearts and minds, Lord, to be challenged by your word. And it's easy to make a discerning judgment between good and bad, between black and white. But it's in the gray areas of life that we bite and devour each other because we have different points of view. Because we are not considering others before ourselves. When we start to judge and throw stones in a glass house. And so help us, Lord, to be patient and to dig further into the guiding principles that are written in Scripture as to how we ought to display and exercise this Christian freedom that we have in Christ. We give you thanks for all the brothers and sisters, for all the thoughts that were lifted up regarding your son this morning, in whose name we give you thanks. Amen.